All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. All right, you're listening to The Debrief with Dave O'Neill while I drive home from a gig with a comedian, and I've got Izzy Ali in the car, rising star. How are you, Izzy?
Good, good, going all right. How are you?
And we're in Tatura. I'm good.
Tatura.
Which is near Shepparton, for people that don't know, which is in central Victoria. And getting you out of that gig was, I felt like I was pulling my teenager out of a party. All these young guys were talking to you. What was his name? Shane?
Shane.
Who remembers you from a uni gig.
Yeah, from like 2 years ago.
Which is remarkable. And he knew some of your jokes, which is great.
Oh, just the one joke that he remembers, the Schmackos one.
Schmackos? I don't remember that joke, but...
I could barely remember it. He's like, come over, tell my friends that joke. I'm like, man, I don't even remember that joke.
Yeah.
You can probably tell it better than I can.
Yeah, exactly. And how did you... I didn't see you because I was on last, of course.
Yeah. No, it went all right.
Went all right?
Went fun. Went fine, yeah.
Because for people that don't know, Izzy is of Somalian descent.
It doesn't sound like it.
You don't sound Somali. No. Well, what does Somali sound like anyway? What's
Somali.
A classic Somali accent?
I couldn't do one if I tried.
No. So, were you born here or?
No. I came here when I was 6 months old.
Oh, wow.
About 6 months, yeah.
6 months.
So, we left there in 91. I came here in 92. Early 92.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And regretted it ever since. No, probably haven't.
I've been back, man. I'm so happy. Because we were the only one, not the only ones that got out, but out of my family. And knowing that you've got cousins back there who have to live there.
Were you in Mogadishu or?
I was born there, yeah, in Mogadishu.
Yeah.
But I'm from the north of Somalia.
Ah, okay. Yeah. And you left because of the Civil War?
Civil War, yep.
Yeah, my brother worked for the Red Cross, still sort of does. And he was based there for a while.
Really?
Yeah, and he just talked about that leaf that everyone chewed.
Cut.
So he said these planes would come in with cart.
Yeah.
And all the guys would just sit around chewing and get stoned, kind of.
Yeah, my auntie, actually, she runs a racket because it's illegal now in Somalia.
Is it illegal, cut?
Yeah, so they've made it illegal. But she runs a racket where she brings it in from Ethiopia.
Wow.
Yeah, so she's got about 5 shops going in different cities, and then that's how she runs a racket through that.
But so does she sell something else in the shop?
Yeah, sells tea. That's all you sell in the shop.
I want the special tea.
Yeah.
Thank you, auntie. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, my brother said there'd be riots when the planes didn't turn up with the leaf. Yeah, and because he was the Red Cross, he had to sit down and talk to the warlord sometimes and try and work out peace stuff and prisoner of war stuff, and they would make him chew the leaf, and he's like, oh, fuck, I can't concentrate. I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm back in a shared house, like smoking bong. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, it's like very amphetamines, basically.
Is that what, you've chewed it?
Yeah, I've chewed it, yeah. Just speeds everything up. It makes you talk a lot more. So they just stay up sipping teas and chewing this stuff. So they'll just stay up all night.
Yeah, he seemed to think that the women did all the work and the men just chew the leaf.
Yeah, that's exactly how it is.
Yeah, right.
I went back in 2011. That was the first time I chewed it.
And how was it?
Chewing it's fine. The country wasn't fine at all.
Yeah, it's still anarchy there, isn't it?
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Total chaos. I went over, luckily, my uncle, who grew up in Melbourne, he came here when he was 18. He's actually the oil minister.
He's the oil minister?
Oil minister of one of the states there.
Yeah.
Because it's split up into 3 parts, Somalia. So in one of the parts, he's actually the oil minister. The president of that state graduated from Monash University.
Really?
With him, yeah. They both graduated from Monash University.
And they've gone back there to...
And one became the president and goes, I'll just hire my friend who's also a lawyer. And he gets it, so...
Yeah, but what sort of life do they have there?
It's pretty good for one of those guys.
Yeah, of course, because they have money and power. And...
Yeah.
I didn't know it was 3 states. I just thought it was anarchy.
No. So it's split into 3 now. It was anarchy from about 91 to 2000.
Yeah, right.
And then it sort of like they finally...
Has the war stopped?
The war stopped, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, look, you're probably better off here. I don't know, and you're having a good comedy career. For people that don't know Izzy, you've got to Google. You did a great report on the ABC Tom Ballard show Tonightly the other night.
Yeah.
Which was on African gangs.
Right, yeah.
Where you went to...
Torquay,
where there'd been a riot with white youth. And you did a whole report, which was very funny.
Yeah, because none of the media outlets... even posted anything about it or
Yeah.
Any articles or nothing.
No, no. Yeah, and they were like 200 youth rampaging, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. 150 strong, bottles, assaulting police officers. And
yeah, as you said, you interviewed some local youth. Now, I don't know if they were actors or who they were, but they're pretty funny. You said, were you pissed off you didn't make the Herald Sun? The front page. And the guy goes, yeah, the boys are pretty upset. We might, if we find that, we drop that a bit of that audio in, because it is a very funny report. Have you done any other stuff?
No, I want to work with them a lot more, though.
Yeah, mate.
Michael Chamberlain called me, actually, the other night.
The comedian and writer, Chamber. Yeah.
And he was like, please, keep sending in some more sketches. We'd love to work with you.
So did you write that sketch?
Oh, Michael helped me write it.
Yeah,
but... He did a lot of the...
Finessing.
Yeah, finessing.
But... Yeah, but that was great. Well, this is the thing... You're a young African comedian. There aren't that many in Australia.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say there's two.
Who?
I reckon there's two. There's another kid in Perth who does it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen. Is he Somali? No.
No, he's Ethiopian.
Ethiopian, yes. Yeah, but he's got some sort of serious job.
Yeah, he's a banker.
Yeah, banker, that's right. He told me.
He's a banker.
Yes.
So he's more of a suit-wearing, class sort of...
Yes.
Yeah, whereas I'm more just... It's a street looking.
You're from Werribee, aren't you?
Yeah.
From the western suburbs of Melbourne. Uh-huh. Oh, man.
You grew up there, didn't you?
No, I lived in the western suburbs for a long time.
Okay.
But I grew up in the outer east.
Right.
Which, don't worry, back in the 70s and 80s was like the western suburbs in some ways.
Yeah.
We felt like we were in the middle of nowhere. You know, you had to get the train to the city and then get bashed and go home. It was a whole thing.
Why'd you move to the western suburbs from the east?
Cheap housing.
Oh, okay.
So it came that I lived in shared housing. I met my girlfriend. We lived in a flat. Then we should buy a house. Yeah, because it was affordable in the 90s. And we just looked around and we ended up in Seddon, which is a suburb invented so it's not Footscray, basically.
Yeah.
So Seddon now, I go there, I hardly recognise Jordan. There's like, I counted 15 cafes or something like that.
Oh my God, Seddon, Yarraville?
Yeah, it's all, as you know, it's
oh
all trendy.
Oh my God.
But let me tell you, when I lived there, there was a young guy called Elijah who worked in the fruit shop as a kid, just after school. And he's an African guy, African kid. His mum's Denise. She's really nice. And I just knew them because they're locals, you know what I mean? And he goes to me, I'm going to be a journalist. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever, mate. And so anyway, he gets into RMIT after school.
Yeah.
And then I kept going back, and he's just getting bigger and bigger every year, as kids do. And he goes, I'll finish my course. He goes, I want to try and get a job. And I go, mate, ABC. They'll love you because they're all into diversity now, the ABC, and you got a job there.
For real?
Yeah, he's on the news now.
Wow.
He does reporting because I do radio there occasionally, and I saw him. He goes, hey, remember you told me the ABC? I went, yeah, mate, I told you. ABC, mate, they love you. It's diversity, mate. So yeah, anyway, you could have your own show in about a year, I reckon. Is it?
Oh, I'd hope so.
You could just do a sketch stand-up kind of show, like, you know, that kind of formula, like Chappelle did, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't mind the whole politics thing, because I know they're very political. I mean, tonightly they like to be.
It's,
you know, talk about it. And I don't mind that sort of stuff either, but I don't have a point of view in, you know, the whole left or the right or the, you know, I just try to stay in the middle and just watch them both.
Yeah, but, you know, if ABC, just go left, mate. You just got to go left, right?
Yeah,
oh, God, yeah. If you go on Sky News, you go, right, but the ABC is left. They say, oh, no, we're not biased. They're all lefties.
Of course.
Especially, you watch, like, I was watching Michaela's show, Mad as Hell. It's so left. It's hilarious. They just hang shit on. I mean, they hang shit on Bill Shorten too.
Yeah.
But they do a lot of hanging shit on Turnbull and, you know, the usual idiots in the Liberal Party.
Yeah. Well, I saw a Mooney show because we're at the Athenaeum last night, and Mooney's got a show at the Athenaeum.
Oh, you does the Prime Minister?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Have you seen that show yet?
Yeah, I was... Oh, yeah. He did in The Fringe, and he had special... I was a guest, because someone pulled out, and yeah, oh, it's fantastic. He does the whole... It is like a fake Tonight Show as Malcolm Turnbull.
Oh.
He had a politician on the night I was on. He had the woman from the sex party, who have changed their name to Reason or something weird. They've changed their name to some weird thing, but no... Izzy, you're well placed.
Yeah.
For a good career. How long have you been doing comedy?
This is my fourth year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my fourth year. Yeah.
Yeah, and you work at the Comics Lounge, because I reckon that's where I met you.
Right, yeah.
You work behind the bar.
Behind the bar there, yeah. That's where you were seeing me.
So that's a good, because, you know, that's a classic comedian story, is that a lot of comics work at comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Like Mark Maron worked on the door at the, I don't know, the store in LA. Richard Stubbs was a waiter at The Last Laugh.
Yeah.
You're the classic, mate. You're the,
I yeah. couldn't, I wouldn't know how else to do it, to be honest. Like, I was thinking about how do I go about doing it, and I just walked into the Comics Lounge one night and asked Tony for a job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how I got the job. Actually, I asked him if I could go into the workshop. It was $5.
Yeah.
And I only had $2.50 in my pocket. And I go, I'll pay you back tomorrow and I'll bring my resume. So yeah. The next day I brought the resume and the $5 that I owed him.
Yeah,
and he
right.
goes, well, since you brought the $5, I'll give you a job.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's good because you get to see a lot of comedy.
Exactly, yeah.
And you must notice things in like the, how a headliner's different to an MC and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Must be good. Have you seen anyone who's you've just gone, they've blown you away by the...
Oh, who did I see? Tony Woods was good.
Oh, Tony Woods, yeah.
Yeah, Tony Woods was good. I mean, I've seen a lot of people now that I can't even remember it.
Yeah, but, of course.
But that was the reason why I got the job, because why I wanted to work there was sitting there and watching comedy all the time. You know, just behind the bar and serving drinks and getting to chat to comics after the show and seeing what they're like and asking them questions and stuff.
It's a good strategy, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's good. And so why did you get into comedy? Because it would have been quite... I mean, it's unusual for anyone.
Yeah.
But you know, actually, my brother used to say there was quite a tradition in Somalia of comedians.
Mm.
Because they were like sketch comedians.
Mm-hmm.
They were the first to leave, though, he said. They all got out of there.
Yeah.
Because they were targets. But, was there a tradition of comedy or in your family? Or
There was... I mean, we had all the DVDs, the Eddie Murphys and the, you know, Richard Pryor's and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
We had all of those, but... I mean, it all started in school. We had a teacher who was such a stoner that he didn't want to teach on during the last class on a Friday.
What sort of school was this?
This is Werribee Islamic College.
Oh, the Islamic school?
Yeah, in Werribee.
Really? Yeah, I know where it is. Yeah. It's opposite Westbourne.
Westbourne.
Which is a private school where...
Nick Cody.
That's right!
So, when I was going to that school, I had a teacher who... Like, he didn't want to teach us in the last class. It was Friday, last period.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
He was just like, somebody stand at my table and just tell jokes. And it was out of me and this other kid who would put our hands up to do it. But so I would come up with jokes every week.
Yeah.
And go on stage, stand on the teacher's table and just tell jokes.
Oh, really?
That's how it started, yeah. And then once I left school, it was either that or warehousing. And I thought, just give it a shot. If it fails, I'm only going to come back to doing warehousing.
Warehousing.
Yeah,
warehousing's not... That's a tough job, I reckon.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you work your way up to driving the forklift, and that's as good as it gets in warehousing.
I thought there was a hierarchy that I could climb until I realised... I'm like, oh, this is it. I'm just going to sit on a forklift this whole time.
Yeah.
May as well go try this comedy thing, and if it fails, I'm only going to come back and sit on this chair anyway.
But were your parents keen for you to go to uni or TAFE or something like that? Or?
Yeah, they were. I mean, my mum was... There wasn't really much you could do about it.
How many in your family, how many brothers and sisters you got?
So there's two older brother, older sister, younger sister.
Right.
So there's four of us and my mum.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, is she happy now that you're doing comedy or?
Oh, she loves it now that she saw me on the ABC.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Oh, after that, now it's like, yeah, go for it.
Follow
your dreams.
That was the truth. My parents, once they saw you on TV, they're like, oh, I get it.
Even though she didn't get it.
Oh, she didn't get the jokes.
But just the fact that I'm on ABC.
Yeah.
A channel that she's been watching since we came to this country, you know?
Yeah, right.
So.
It would have been hard for her. How has she found, like, settling in Australia?
She doesn't mind it.
Yeah.
I mean, she was never in Somalia for a lot of the time anyway.
Oh, wasn't she?
No, she met my dad in Italy.
Yeah,
so
right.
She lived in Saudi Arabia.
Just working.
Zimbabwe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Italy, and then that's where she met my dad.
And so you were at home getting brought up by your grandparents or something like that?
No, I wasn't even born yet.
Oh, right, okay. No. Yeah, right, I get it.
Yeah,
get it.
And then she met him, and then the war started probably about... Well, I was born. I was born in the war.
Yeah, right.
And then we left. And my dad stayed because he was a doctor at the time.
He stayed
because he couldn't leave. He was like trapped in a hospital for like 4 months at a time.
Far out.
So he couldn't leave, and then So we came to Australia. Like, we just had to leave.
And what happened to your dad?
Well, he ended up coming here. He's got dementia now. He lives in a nursing home.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. So,
did he never saw you do comedy, or...?
No, no. I sort of don't really know the guy.
Yeah, right. Is he an elder
guy? Yeah, so he's about 76 now.
Oh, wow, okay. Right. Yeah, right.
So, by the time I met him, it was probably like 5 years later that he got dementia. But I didn't really... It was too late anyway. I was really in year seven, so...
Yeah, and you were being a teenager.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
You know, I did a gig at a hospital the other day. It was a dementia conference. And how is this? This guy gets up and he goes, you know, people think dementia's people in their 70s, 80s, but who's 50 and over? Put your hand up. Yeah, you've all probably got dementia. Oh, great. Because he goes, yeah, a lot of people have it. They just don't know, in their 50s. I'm like, oh, awesome. Awesome news. Glad I'm doing this gig.
The nursing home that I go to see my dad, they've got these little tricks that they do, these guys. So there's a bus stop in the backyard, right?
Oh,
so they'll stand at this bus stop thinking they're going to catch a bus. And they'll just be standing there for like half an hour. And then they'll come inside going, yeah, that was good. They came back from the shops or whatever.
They got a bus stop.
They didn't go anywhere. They were just standing in the back. So since my dad used to be a doctor, they've tricked him into thinking he's still a doctor.
Yeah.
So he walks around and gives the medication to the other patients.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Yeah, so they've tricked him into it. So it's all right. It does bother me.
Yeah, he's having not such a bad life.
Yeah.
Well, Denise Scott's mum was a nurse and she got dementia and she believed she was a nurse in the nursing home she was in.
Mm.
Denise said she was never happier thinking that she was a nurse again.
I mean, it's a good way. It just makes it a lot easier for them, I think.
Oh, I reckon.
You know?
I reckon. God, we're in Murchison now. This is. Have you ever been a Shep before?
Or? I have. You've I used to come camping down at the Murray.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, a lot.
Wow, so you know this area quite well.
Yeah. Oh, I just used to drive through it, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't really
for
know
sure. For sure thing.
I lost my license out here.
Oh, did you speed it?
Yeah, speeding, overloading, no license. No P plates up.
Oh, no P plates.
Yeah.
Right.
All of it. But I had the best cop, because I thought, oh, it's a country cop. He's probably never seen a black eye in his life. He's just going to, like, just write everything down. But he goes, hey, tomorrow morning I want you to be at Echuca police station at 8:30. So I rock up the next morning. He didn't even do anything that night, but the next morning I get there and he brings me into the room and he shows me all these like videos and of guys getting into car accidents, people getting their cars crushed, getting cars towed away and whatnot, pictures of smashes. And then he just like half an hour of this, and then he goes, have you learned your lesson? I'm like, yeah. So he just wrote me up, me just speeding a little bit, and just goes, get out of here, don't ever do it again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Greatest cop in the world. Like, I haven't done anything stupid like that since.
Yeah, no.
You know? I think that's how you meant to do it, too. Like,
yeah. It's good when you get a good cop.
Yeah.
They're generally pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The highway patrol ones are pretty full on, though.
Yeah, they're the worst.
They find cops, they always say.
Yeah. I know cops that don't like those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Here we are. We're leaving Murchison. Yeah, right. Oh, well, that's... You've had quite a life already. And how old are you?
26.
26. So you started comedy when you were 21.
22.
That's a good age to start, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you'll just get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
You've got nothing to tie you down. Nick Cody, who's been on this podcast, very similar. Started very young, straight from school.
How old were you when you started?
I was 24.
Right.
Which is not, it's a good age. It's good to start before you're 30, I reckon.
Yeah.
Just because you have most people don't have any kids or married or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I always admire people that start when they're married with kids.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to say to your wife or husband, I'm just going to go do an open mic, go drive for an hour, do 10 minutes and die on the ass. You right with the kids and all the housework?
Well, how old was guy off Caddyshack? He was old when he started.
Bill Murray.
No,
Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, he was what, 50? No,
yeah, he's. I'm glad. I love Rodney Dangerfield. Meet my wife. She gives good headache. That's one of his lines. And all these other great lines. When I die, I'm going to donate my body to science fiction. That's one of his other great lines. Yeah, I love Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
But what happened? He used to do comedy in the when he was a young man in his 20s, and he was good looking. He was quite a good-looking, very skinny young man, and the comedy just didn't match with what he was doing. So he went off and sold aluminium siding for 20 years, like cladding on houses. He was a door-to-door salesman. And then in his 40s, he got back into it. And then he came with his, I got no respect. And it just worked for him when he was older. Yeah. So he had a massive break in between. But yeah, he, I got no respect. He passed away.
But did he even do any open mics back when he like started up again?
Though? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So he didn't make his way up the ranks of, like,
he, if you come back 20 years, there's no one, there's hardly anyone around from those days. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sure, you've seen it. I've seen it myself when comics have a 10-year break, they do radio and they come back. I always go to them, everything's changed.
Yeah.
The guys who book the gigs are different. The comics are different.
The rooms.
The rooms are totally different. And some of them expect to get a walk-up start. And it's bloody hard. It's hard for them.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine going back to doing open mics once you've... past 10 years.
That'd be hard. Open mics, have you done some brutal ones?
Oh, real brutal ones. Awful. Most of them are, like, three people, two people.
Yeah, and sometimes you're just playing the comics.
Playing the comics,
it's the worst ever. We used to do one, which is not far from the Comics Lounge in sort of west North Melbourne, called Mulcahy's, which is the old pub, it's apartments now. And it was near the docks. So the stage was right near the door. And so, honestly, you'd be on stage... and guys in high-vis would walk in having a conversation about their work. Yeah, I said to Gary, I'll put the fucking container on. And you'd be on stage and they'd walk in and they'd just look at you like confused. Like, why is there a guy on stage in our pub? Why don't he... As it was just one of those ones where it was just like...
I did one not long ago where it was... I had two massive plasma TVs behind me.
Oh.
And so, like, one on each side of my head. And one was playing The Ashes.
Yeah, and they won't turn them off. They wouldn't turn them off.
And yeah. I can see, I'm looking at people look up. Like, they're looking up and then looking down at me and then looking up again.
Yeah, right.
Like, after he bowls and then they hit it and then that little time they have between the next bowl, people would be paying attention.
Man.
And the other TV, I think, had surfing on it.
Yeah, surfing.
Yeah, so it was like you had a choice between me and two other really good sports.
Yeah. I remember doing the New Hotel in Dandenong when I was at open mic, at New, spelled N-U. I don't know how to spell new. And we get there and the guy goes, okay, no one's turned up for the comedy, so we're going to do it in the main bar. So what I'll do, I'll turn off all the trots, the footy and the billiards, and they'll just have to watch you. And I said, mate, they already hate us. Don't turn off any of it. And it was a classic nightmare gig where you were just, you know those gigs where you're ruining someone's night?
Yeah.
Like, what the, they're trying to have dinner and, you know, it's like... what the fuck's going on over the corner? There's some guy talking. Yeah, but they make you, you know, everyone does those gigs. They make you better, apparently.
But have you ever been one of those audience members who was just sitting there at a pub and some guy just picked up a microphone?
Yeah, I remember being at uni, and they used to have a lot of uni gigs when I was at uni. This is the 80s, the mid-80s. And you'd be in the canteen, and they'd have a comedian on. So some quite famous, like Shane Bourne. I remember seeing Shane Bourne.
At your uni, right?
At my uni, yeah. And so he just gets up and goes, oh, g'day everyone, how's it going? I'm like, who the fuck's this guy? Oh, that's a guy from TV. So, yeah, and I loved comedy and I wanted to do it, but, you know, I didn't know how to do it or anything. So I would shut up and listen, but, yeah, people were just talking and stuff. And,
yeah.
But, you know, I mean, you've
Is done, that how you started?
Oh, no, I just...
Just
at open mic nights, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I was similar... I went to the first one at the Last Laugh, which was similar to the Comics Lounge. It was a big comedy venue that ran five nights a week in Smith Street, Collingwood. And they used to have open mic nights on a Tuesday. I went along there because I'd been for work functions, you know, because I had an office job.
Mm.
And, you know, arrogantly thought, I'm funnier than some of these guys. My first gig did well, and I thought, oh, that's it, I'll just get paid from now on. I just assumed you did one gig, you did well, and you just got paid. The guy goes, nah, that's not how it works. But, you know, I met other comics that night. I didn't know any comics before I started, of course. You meet other comics and you just network. But when I started, there were no mobile phones. There was no internet.
Yeah, how did you book gigs back then?
You had to turn up.
Right.
So say you turn up to a gig, you'd watch the gig, and then you'd go to the guy at the end who was running it. Oh, g'day, can I jump up and do five next week, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah. Or you'd ring up and leave messages on the phone. Yeah, it was bizarre because now it's all Facebook.
Did you ever do the pager?
No, yes, there were. Yes. Guys had. Yes, some promoters had pages.
Yeah.
I didn't have one.
Oh, okay.
But definitely people had pages. What a memory. But yeah, no, because well, in a way it was good because you had to turn up and watch a lot of comedy to get on.
Mm.
And there wasn't such a big open mic scene. There were more sort of pro nights where they'd have a few open micers on first.
Yeah.
So you would go to a gig and there'd be like Judith Lucy emceeing. There'd be, you know, Richard Stubbs would be headlining. There'd be guys in the middle like Brad Oakes, Pommy Johnson. And then, you know, there'd be people like me on first doing five.
Yeah.
Jimone and Bob Franklin were around a lot. They ran a room and stuff, so... But now the open mic scene's a whole scene in itself.
Yeah.
And it seems that people can just get stuck in there for 5 to 10 years.
Definitely. I know a lot of comics who are still there and been doing it for ten plus years.
That's tough.
Yeah.
You got to try and break out, mate.
Well, that's it. A lot of people don't know how. I mean, most of us don't know how. We just assume somebody's going to come knocking on the door and take us away, you know?
Oh, you just got to get better and do as many gigs as you can. Try and do festival shows. And then just build up to getting more like a pro, semi-pro, you know? Like doing gigs like tonight, which was like for a tennis club, wasn't it?
A tennis fundraiser.
Yeah.
No, netball fundraiser.
Netball.
For their netball club.
Ah, right. In the country. That's great experience and, you know, pays some money. So that's what you got to do. You just got to keep going. Keep going. But you're funny.
Yeah, it was all right. Tonight went well.
You did well. See, I didn't see it, so it went well.
Yeah, it went really well.
But I saw your Crab Lab the other night.
Yeah.
Which is like a hipster kind of free comedy on a Wednesday night in the CBD of Melbourne. And it was packed and you smashed it. You were hilarious.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. So those rooms are obviously good to do when you've been doing shit open mic. I remember this when I was doing open mics. You do shit gig, and then you do one like that. You're like, oh, this is good.
Finally. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's probably one of the better ones, though.
Yeah, no, that's a good gig, Crab Lab. Yeah.
It goes from, like, the Comics Lounge, Crab Lab, and then I can't think of any others. Do you know what I mean? In the open mic circuit.
Yeah.
Those Comics Lounge on a Tuesday, Crab Lab on a Wednesday.
Well, Crab Lab's not even really like an open mic anymore, is it?
No, not really, yeah.
No, there's a lot of pros and semi-pros sort of on that night, I reckon, these days.
Yeah.
But, mate, you just got to keep going, Izzy.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
That's my one tip. Don't give up.
So when you started out, how long did it take you to realise, oh, this is what I'm going to do?
About 5 years.
Right. So you didn't quit your job? You didn't quit your day job?
Oh, no. I got sacked from my full-time job. I was a public relations... I did teaching, then I did a PR degree. And I was working in public relations, which is saying good things about things that aren't that good. And I had clients like the Victorian taxi industry. Oh, man, it was killing me. Going into an office every day.
Yeah.
Writing. Anyway, I got sacked because I wasn't very good and the company went broke and I just thought, ah, oh, fuck it. I always wanted to do comedy. I was in bands and stuff, but I always wanted to do comedy.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how to. And I'd been to a few comedy nights and I went, oh, yeah. And so I just started doing it because I had nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose. It was like the start of Stripes. You know, when Bill Murray, he gets sacked, his girlfriend loses him, his car gets towed. It was a bit like that. I just had nothing to lose, and so I just started doing it. And then I just got part-time jobs, you know, doing storeroom work, actually, warehousing work.
Yeah.
And then I started running gigs because I'm from a PR background. I could promote stuff. I knew how to fucking do a poster and print out pamphlets, you know what I mean?
Right.
And because, you know, you go to many gigs and they don't know how to fucking print a poster and put it up on a pole.
Yeah, they tell you to bring the audience.
Yeah. They don't know, you know, fucking give away some free tickets. I don't know, do something.
Yeah.
You know, there's things you can do. Anyway, so, yeah, I just started helping, you know, I met other comics. And, yeah, and then after about 5 years, I just got enough work to live off it, you know. But it wasn't a great wage, but then it just builds up over the years.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
Exactly what Johnny was telling me. He goes, it'll just come. You won't realise. 1 week you'll get a paid gig, 3 months later you get another one.
Yeah.
And then 4 months, and then it'll just get quicker and quicker, sooner and sooner and sooner.
Yeah.
You know?
And something like you will stand out because, you know, you're a Somali Australian comic.
Yeah.
So it's actually good to have on a bill someone a bit different, you know what I mean? Just like, look at Dilruk.
Yeah.
Jay Singer, who's Sri Lankan. Mate, he's smashing it.
Smashing.
But I've got to say, he is a really good example of someone who turned up and watched so much comedy. I knew him as an audience member. I didn't know he was a comic. I just seen him at so many gigs sitting on the front laughing. I went, oh, there's that bloody guy again. He's great. And someone said, yeah, he's a comic. I'm like, is he? And then, you know, they were, and so that's like you working at the lounge. It's a good thing to do to see a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
And just go to a lot of comedy and try and do as many gigs as you can, no matter how shit they are.
Well, I'm starting to like him a lot more. Even shit gigs.
Yeah, you get...
Like, I want to do them. I just want to tick them all off the bucket list.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to keep a sense of humour about it. It's not going to matter. What's it going to matter? Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Because eventually, everything bad that's going to happen happens to you. People talk. People throw things at you. A guy runs on stage and grabs a mic.
That's happened to you?
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. I got something to say. And he grabs a mic. I'm like, oh, no. And, like, you know, there's often alcohol involved in that stuff.
Right.
I've had stuff thrown at me. I've had people, you know, but honestly, you just go, oh, well. I've never had anyone hit me, which is good, so.
See, the booing on stage, I don't know if I definitely can handle it, getting booed off stage, but it's the off stage part when you're like, wow, like, what do I do now? Do I just go, do I continue this?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, not booed, but just more a boo, kind of, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
But no, you know the worst one is just people talk. The worst one is when you do the death, we have a comedy death where you start off well or reasonable and then people just start talking up the back.
Yeah.
And then it just builds and builds and so everyone's just talking, you're on stage going, anyway, all right, I'll get going then. Thanks and for that. Thanks for that.
Wait, there's one person trying to be nice and laughing and you're not even.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. True.
You're just trying to be nice now.
I feel sorry for you. Oh, yeah, it's tough. Anyway, you're listening to The Debrief. I'm talking to Izzy Harley.
Hey.
Young comic on the rise.
How we doing?
As seen on the Tonight Lee Show. I've got these questions I ask everyone, Izzy. You ready? Debrief questions. What went well tonight and why, you think, Izzy?
What went well?
Yeah, what went well?
I think it was the...
Anything about the gig?
I think what I enjoy the most out of these country gigs as well, like especially these country gigs, is like they don't get to see people like me that often.
No.
So, and when they do, I guarantee they have like a...
Preconceived.
Yeah, and then when I get on stage, it's like, wow. I mean, he doesn't look like us, but he sounds like us.
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. So we can follow this.
Yeah, we can... Well, he's just...
He's got something that I can hold on to. And
yeah, yeah.
Pay attention to.
That's great. And what didn't go well and why? Anything not go well? Any of your material? Because, you know, country audiences can sometimes be a bit conservative. They're pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I do this new 9/11 joke. No, it's not a 9/11 joke. It's a... But, I mean, it didn't work as well as it usually does. It's a new one.
Which one's that?
It's about the Australia Day. It's Australia Day.
Okay.
And I saw these American guys in the protest part, of, like, the change the date.
Yeah, change the day, yeah.
So they were protesting, they were the American guys. And they were telling me, change the date. And they said it to me, change the date. And I go, okay. And then they're really aggressive, like, what are you going to change it to? And I said, 9/11, probably.
Yeah. So, good joke.
But that bit worked. It was everything else before it. Because I think they thought, once I brought up Australia Day, they just went, nah.
Yeah, you see that with audiences. It's like, when sometimes you just bring up a topic and they go really quiet.
Yeah. And they were like, you're going to make fun of Australia Day now? Like,
fuck. Well, I thought you were one of us, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Were there any organisational hazards that got in the way of the gig?
No, I mean...
They had house lights were on, though. Were they on?
Yeah, they were on when I was on. I got to see everybody's eyes, like everybody's face looking at me.
See, as soon as when I turned up, I said, you got to turn the house lights off because you want it dark in the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the stage lights were blue and red. I got the guy to change it to white.
Yeah, see, I didn't know any of that. That's what I need to know. There's little tricks that you ask for.
Oh, yeah, look, you know, don't bring out food when we're on stage. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Over the years, you just pick it up.
I just assume, oh, this is how the room looks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't change it, but you can.
But you can.
The dance floor down the front, they've always got a big dance floor. You're like, oh, God, what's...
Yeah, that space between the stage and the first row, that was...
The comedy moat. But that's because the stage, it was a classic old hall in a country town. The stage was quite high.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to sit too close because they have to
Oh, right.
Crane their neck. Uh-huh. Poor old Farquhar, which wasn't his real name. He said his name was Farquhar when I asked him what his name was.
Farquhar.
Yeah, his real name was Thomas, apparently. Farquhar. But sometimes I go, well, because it's dark and I can't see, I thought, well, maybe that is his name. I don't know.
Yeah.
Farquhar. How can we do better next time, Izzy?
I'm going to take those tricks. Turn off the lights.
Yeah, turn off the lights. Yeah.
Don't bring out the food. And...
Yeah, yeah. Comedy, because, I mean, you just got to remember, people don't know how to run a comedy gig. You've been to more comedy gigs than all those people in that room.
Yeah.
So you want the house lights off. You want people focused on the stage, looking at the stage.
Yeah.
Turn the music off. Sometimes I do. I did a gig the other day at a pub. You go on and you're on stage and I go, is there music playing? Can I hear? Yeah, there was music playing over the speakers. Like, yeah, turn the music off.
The first thing you meant to do?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Turn the music. But it's on a different speaker system.
Oh, okay.
It's in the ones in the roof as opposed to the PA that you're using. It's like, they're just saying, I did a gig in Country Victoria and the meal orders would come over the PA. Like, yeah, veal parmigiano, 56, please come up and get your meal. It's the worst thing ever. Well, that's the end of the podcast, but we can play it. I drop a song in, man. I drop some beats. Not my own. What sort of music do you like?
Oh, all. Everything.
But so what do you want to
right
play?
Right now, actually, I've been listening to a lot of olden day... Not old. I say they're olden day. It's probably not olden day for you. But Sting, probably me.
Sting?
It's probably me. I've been playing that all week. I love that song.
What is it?
Sting.
I know Sting from The Police.
It's probably me. It's not. I don't think it's The Police. It's just him.
To sell Sting, baby.
Just him alone.
Well, we'll play some Sting.
Actually, it's Sting and Eric Clapton, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah. No, I love Sting. Oh, I love The Police. I saw The Police play several times. The bloody great band.
Yeah, I'd love to have seen them back in the day.
Sting and all his tantric sex and all his weird. But I reckon it'd be great to meet Sting. It'd be great to meet.
It's funny because like I'm a real hip hop fan, but just in the last couple of years I've been getting into a lot of old music.
That's good.
Because I mean I'm not gonna say it's better, but it's good music, you know.
Yeah, it's just different.
To me, it was always that genre of Eric Clapton and whatnot. To me, it was always that 18th birthday party that last 20 minutes where
right.
The mums get to come up dance.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And do all those songs.
And I reckon you could meet an older woman with, if you like, Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
And Sting. The ladies love Sting. All right. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Izzy.
No worries.
And can people follow you on Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook, Izzy Ali on Facebook or Instagram, Izzy Ali, same name.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. I found you on Facebook. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Izzy Ali, there he is. Keep your eye out for him. He's going to be big. He's going to be massive.
Hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. Time will tell. Sure.